Blackwatch Report, your podcast covering all things Open Division and Contenders, the path to pro for Overwatch League. And here are your hosts, Thorn Rain and Kyle Wynn. And welcome back again to another episode of the Blackwatch Report. This is episode 27, Get Nanoblade, Win Game. I am your host, Thorn Rain, and with me as always, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How you doing tonight, Kyle?
Good. I feel like we've been here before. Bit of deja vu, but no one's going to know why if you're not watching on Twitch. So just pretend like if you're an audio listener that, hello, welcome for the very first time, episode 27.
Yeah, it got a little timey-wimey there for a minute. We're just going to kind of run through what we did this past week real quick because, it, like Kyle said, it kind of feels like we've done this. I have recently resubbed to World of Warcraft because of the new expansion. It is fantastic. And if you have been unsubbed for a while, I highly suggest it. It's a great story so far. All the new stuff is fun, but other than that, I haven't been doing very much of anything else other than watching Contenders NA. How about you, Kyle?
Not Overwatch, or yeah, not Overwatch, not World of Warcraft, not for me. I feel like I just couldn't get into it because I didn't play, like I didn't start playing early enough, and some people just have the I've been doing it so long, I have to like come back in because I know the story and the characters and all that stuff. I have very little invested into it. I played a little bit. It's kind of interesting. But I've been playing other shooty games lately. I picked up a game called Insurgency. It was free. I don't know if it still is. But it's cool. It's fun. Fun game to play with the friends. Shoot people. Run around. Get shot at. Stuff like that. That's about all I've been doing this week.
Always fun to run around with your friends and shoot people.
Exactly. In a video game.
In a video game. Yeah, let's preface that. Video games. But that's going to take us to our iTunes reviews. I double-checked. We do not have any new iTunes reviews. No new Twitch follows, no new YouTube subscribers, and no new Patreons. But as always, our news is brought to you by our Patreon. This week, our sponsor is, again, Mr. Shrugoff. Thank you, Shrugoff. You can become a Patreon over at patreon.com/blackwatchreport, and that will financially help the show take care of any fancy graphics or audio, you know, programs or anything that we might need to upgrade. But with that, let's get into the news.
I will take it away with our slightly revamped but still pretty much the same news system, and that is that we have scene news and community news from the High Noon Podcast community first up. So first thing is just regular old scene news, and that is that Seoul Dynasty have announced that they are looking for new players and coaching staff for an academy team that they have just created. Good to see another path to pro team come in here and not take up the NA spots from unsigned teams and yes, kind of creating a wall between the community there. Instead, there's the one place that doesn't have a academy team yet, and that is South Korea. So good on Seoul Dynasty for having a path to pro for themselves.
Definitely, definitely. It's going to take us into our second bit of news here, and this is some High Noon Productions news. Directly after the show, we will be recording our last night's leftover Blackwatch profile special edition, where we're going to have none other than Kate Mitchell, the manager and support extraordinaire Mr. Dogman himself, coming on the show to talk to us about their path through this latest season of Contenders. Should be pretty good, so stick around.
I'm super stoked on it. What I'm also stoked is for people to watch the latest Blackwatch breakdown, which I put together. I streamed it, I don't know when I streamed it, Monday maybe, I think.
Yes,
something like that. And it is on YouTube, the Blackwatch Report YouTube, as well as just on our Twitch under the VODs. I kind of broke down Fusion University's transition from kind of getting rolled by Toronto Esports, who at halftime they made some changes and then they full held Toronto on Volskaya and straight rolled them. So it's a really cool thing to see the transition from teams and how that, you know, they themselves and their coaches can kind of make decisions quickly and put them into practice. So check that out if you have interest in kind of delving a little deeper into pro or semi-pro Overwatch.
Oh, yes. Keeping the YouTube channel alive. That's going to take us into the next bit of scene news. We finally got a little bit of information on the Chinese contenders' semis and finals. They are going to be played on land, and they're going to be played at the Asian Games Town Gymnasium in Guangzhou.
Guangzhou.
And you will recognize that name as the newest Overwatch League city. So we'll get to kind of see potentially where the Overwatch League team might be playing once they go geolocation for their matches. So it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, and then our last little bit, less happy news, is unfortunate for those in the South American region, who is probably one of the most kind of neglected and slept on regions, despite having lots of great talent there and a lot of incredibly dedicated players. South America is the only contenders region to have no LAN finals. They're the only major region or continent to not have any sort of Overwatch World Cup like local thing happening. The closest they get is LA, which is not that close at all. So unfortunate for them. Hopefully we can start to see some changes in the South American region, because Brazil Gaming House has literally been grinding since like release and have been pretty good consistently. And they've been at World Cup consistently, but like they still don't really have, and a bunch of other teams as well, don't have the resources to like even full time this, I think. So,
oh yeah.
And then kind of jumping now into roster moves, we are seeing...
I'll actually grab the number one for you here, Kyle. Jaru, Guru, and Boostio have all left the Sky Foxes, along with recently announced their head coach, Obasil? It's a very awkward name. We're going to go with Obasil. But something to note here, Guru has joined and has been playing with his collegiate team, the Maryville University Overwatch team. So it's good to see that he's continuing to play. He's just going down the collegiate side. So hopefully we'll be able to hear about him playing in the TESPA tournaments here shortly.
Yeah, the whole TESPA thing is kind of interesting, because so far we've only heard of like one player who has played in a TESPA team and then gone into contenders, and that is Aligned, who is on the Berkeley team and then played for Mayhem Academy. But moving on into our last little bit, as is expected, Vizility had a weird spot in Toronto's esports, and kind of because he came in a little bit late. Nero and Dalton had already played together for quite a bit, and so he had a weird spot. So now he has left Toronto esports, is going to stay on Team Netherlands for the World Cup, but is now looking for a new team, I would assume.
Yes. And that is going to wrap it up for the news. Not a lot of news this week. It was a short one. But as always, you can break away from your normal energy and go rogue. Go over to therogueenergy.com and use promo code BLACKWATCHREPORT at checkout for 10% off of your purchase. They just released their fifth new flavor, and that is peach iced tea. So go and check that out. I love me some peach tea. I love
peach flavors, man.
Cannot wait to try this. But that is going to take us into This Week in Overwatch, brought to you by Liquipedia. August 12th, we have, again, there are no tournaments for this whole week, so it's all birthdays. Happy birthday to everybody on this list. August 12th, we see Zhao Yao, Chinese commentator and coach for Lucky Future. Klaus, because it's not Klaus. We're going to go with Klaus. Finnish coach for Yala Esports. We have Zave, who is a Swedish player recently playing for Can We End Early, formerly and most notably from Team Misfits, and is currently retired. And then we have Pa, who is the tank main that recently played for Grizzly Esports before we saw them kind of disband. And then on August 14th, we have Roki, who is a support main currently playing for X6 Gaming. On August 16th, we see Farway, flex player previously playing for LGD Gaming. And then on August 17th, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Mooma, turning 20 years old, tank for the Houston Outlaws. And then on the 18th, we have a whole slew of birthdays here. We have Met turning 26, off Tank, who recently played for Snakes over in EU. And then we see Riskin, a support player formerly for Team Vitality, that is over on the French scene, turning 23. Then we have Bedozin turning 22, support currently playing for the London Spitfire. And then our very own NA Path to Pro superstar, Bernard, turning 18. He's legal. Sign him. Flex Tank for the Fusion University. And with that, we're going to go down into the quick play. We're going to check out the Korean playoffs. Kyle, why don't you start us off?
So we had, this is a full bracket, but I'm actually not going to say what the finals are until we go into the actual like breakdown section. So I'm going to make sure I don't say the result of the game. Starting at the top of the bracket, Kangju Panthera 3-0, GC Busan Wave in the quarterfinals. Metabellum knocks out O2 Ardent 3-0 as well. MVP Space falls to Runaway 3-1, and Element Mystic takes out their... they're kind of like a decent rivalry in X6 Gaming. They take them out 3-2.
And then in the semis, we see Kangju Panthera taking on Metabellum and knocking them out 3-1. And then Runaway going up against Element Mystic, also taking that one 3-1 in favor of Runaway.
So that leaves Kangju Panthera and Runaway in the finals, which we'll talk about later.
Yes. I'm going to start us off on the EU playoff brackets here. We see the finals being on September 21st at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we have Angry Titans going up against 1 Point in the quarterfinals, and Angry Titans take this 3-0. The newly named Windstrike team takes on Snakes, and they beat them 3-1. Team Gigante just destroy Young and Beautiful 3-0. And then we see Orgulous and Hungry fall to Eagle Gaming 3-1.
And then in the semifinals, we have Angry Titans continue their strong push through the playoffs and take out Windstrike Team, formerly known as CIS Hope. And then we see kind of an interesting, a bit of an upset. Team Gigante was very highly thought of and was thought to be the ones to go to finals against the now Angry Titans. But instead, Eagle Gaming takes them out 3-1 in the semifinals, leaving a Angry Titans versus Eagle Gaming finals.
And kind of good thing there, because Eagle Gaming was kind of building a star-studded roster in the EU scene when they were announcing everybody, and they didn't do too hot in season one, so it's kind of good to see them coming up and making the finals in season two. But that's going to take us down into the NA portion of the playoffs. So on August 8th, we have our quarterfinals matches. We see Fusion University going up against Toronto Esports. Me and Kyle both had this going. Fusion University 3-0 based off of the recent play of Toronto Esports. And boy, were we wrong. Fusion still won. But man, did we get a heck of a match. This went the way Fusion 3-2, full five maps. It was fantastic. What you got?
So, as I kind of alluded to previously, this starts out with Toronto kind of going ham. They take Mund. Oasis 2-1. They go Hammond, yes. Ha! Funny jokes. They take Oasis, which is their first... any team's first victory over Fusion University on Oasis. So that was weird to see. Yep. That's a 2-0 win. And then Eichenwald also goes their way 3-1. Then at the halftime, there's a little talk between, I think it's Zachary, Beast Halo, and Paijian, who's the head coach. And they figured out exactly what Toronto was doing wrong, figured out exactly how they could completely counter them. And boy, did they, because Toronto didn't score a single point after that switch.
Yes.
Volskaya went 1-0 Fusion University. Rialto 1-0 Fusion University. And Ilios 2-0 Fusion University. That's like a turnaround of the century, or at least of the last contender season. It was phenomenal to see. But breaking down what happened on each map, or kind of just important things to note from this matchup is that Beast Halo was playing the Hammond the first kind of map and a half, pretty much just the first map on Oasis. Did very little. Obviously, he kind of did a tweet afterwards kind of explaining why he did so little, and it wasn't necessarily because I suck. It was a pretty in-depth analysis of, you know, the comps that were being played, and I assume that was part of the conversation at halftime. Okay, I'm not going to keep playing Hammond. I'm going to keep playing this other thing. And so we kind of have a bit of a conversation that we've been having on where we think Wrecking Ball should be, and it still has yet to be decided.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Wrecking Ball being a main tank. I don't think that it is reliable. There's some people that can play it at main tank, but I think that it's better as a flex tank, off tank kind of disruptor. And I mean, we kind of saw it here. Beast Halo is a phenomenal tank. It couldn't cover the rest of his team using the hamster. Just couldn't do it.
And I think it also has to do with playstyle too, because we see that, like, I've said this plenty, is that Beast Halo is not the same kind of tank player as Panker is, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think Beast Halo is a tank that will really, really enable his team well, whereas Panker will enable himself and then kill everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I think Wrecking Ball, if you're playing in that main tank spot, kind of needs to be that, like, I am going to do the killing, I'm going to do the damage and the disruption. And so you kind of have to really be an all-in with that, not be countered with it, have a team that's playing around you well. And we'll talk about the whole Panker thing in a little bit here, but boy, oh boy, is it something to see.
Oh, yes.
I did mention that whatever it was said at halftime for Fusion University to work like an absolute charm is literally like night and day difference. What we did see after the halftime is two things win team fights consistently: EMP Dragon Blades and Nano Blades. So, you know, Fusion University have kind of one of the best Genji players in the entire world. And the fact that he is 16 is basically the only reason that he's not in Overwatch League at the moment. I can say that definitively. He is 100% Overwatch League material, and he is just wrecking everyone with every single blade he has. So Fusion University really start playing around the EMP blades and the Nano blades towards the second half of this game and completely dismantling Toronto. And essentially what happened is they did a couple little changes here and there. Did Fusion University, they stopped trying to play what the new meta is supposed to be or think what it's going to be. And instead, they kind of just went back to something a little bit more standard. Kind of the comp that I saw work for them really well was having dive tanks. I think the only important thing was to have Anna and Brigitte with Elk on the Brigitte, basically protecting the Anna and letting the tanks do some damage here, waiting for everyone to dive the Anna, counter dive, and kill everything. So it's a patch that kind of does a lot of weird things to support. So we're seeing less Mercy, we're seeing less Zenyatta. Anna's back. Brigitte in at the actual support thing is maybe now a possibility. It's weird.
Oh, yeah. And we see Beast Halo switch back over to playing the monkey, and he does fantastic things on Ilios. If you want to watch some amazing tank play, watch Beast Halo juggle another tank midair and then throw him off the back of Ilios during a Primal Rage. He hit him like three times midair to knock him around the lighthouse and then out the back of the map. Beast Halo is phenomenal on Monkey, and I think he should stay on Monkey and leave the hamster alone. And with that, that's going to take us into our second matchup, which was Team Envy versus last night's Leftovers. We both had this going 3-2 in the favor of Team Envy, and neither team disappointed. It went the full five, and we had another stunning matchup here. So Kyle, why don't you start us off?
I'm stoked that we finally got one like 100% right in this bracket. So cool on that.
Yes.
We saw this kind of go a little bit more back and forth. We saw Li Zhang go to Envy 2-0. We saw Kings Row and Volskaya be taken by LNL 3-2 on both of those. Back on Watchpoint Gibraltar is where Envy were able to pull it back from the brink and get the 4-3, forcing it into a map 5, being Oasis, where Envy took that 2-0. Kind of delving into the key things to look at here for this particular match. Tank comps, World of Tanks, it returns. No one really dies, fights last forever. Everyone's playing GOATS comps or kind of just straight tank comps here. One of the things we did see was Tailspin playing some Mei here and was just dismantling. He literally tweeted Mei is pretty cool afterwards because he just dismantled the team of Last Night's Leftovers on Li Zhang, Kings Row, and Oasis. You have a quick note here.
As the day went on and we saw more and more of Hammond, we started to see that Mei became an extremely hard counter for Hammond here. And if you watch, there's actually a moment where Tailspin is able to freeze. I forget who is playing the Hammond in this matchup.
Probably Decod.
Yes, Decod. Is actually able to freeze Decod mid pile driver, which prevented the pile driver from hitting the ground on Li Zhang Tower. It was during control center. So it was just, we're not used to seeing Mei played this much. And boy, did she get played quite a bit through this whole weekend. So it's good to see a little bit of character diversity coming in, especially when, you know, Satan herself gets played a little bit and we get to see her freeze a bunch of hamsters. It's kind of cool.
And with this, we saw some really interesting things. I mentioned that you're seeing less Mercy, a little bit less Lucio stuff. What we did end up seeing is some Ana Zen comps, which what did that mean? Is it meant that Ajax sat the bench for the first time this season while Dino came in and they ran a interesting Ana Zen comp, which was, I didn't necessarily work that incredibly, but they got him the win, so it worked out, so why not? It's just a weird thing to see because I haven't really seen much from Dino or Dino in a while. Then next big thing, we mentioned previously how Fuse University really built around them having a fantastic Genji. Well, who also has a fantastic Genji? Last night's Leftovers. And man, Sugar Freeze Blades were phenomenal as always.
Oh, yes. And something else to note here about Sugar Free. Earlier on when LNL was playing kind of the, I'm calling it the pain ball comp, which is Hammond with Doomfist and then, you know, Lucio. It just, there's a lot of disruption in that comp. But Sugarfree was on the Doomfist for that and was not performing well at all. As soon as we see him switch over to the Genji, it was like a light switch went off and he just started wrecking everyone. So you can tell that Sugarfree is definitely a lot more comfortable on his Genji than he is on the Doomfist. And hopefully we get to see him just stay on the Genji and leave the Doomfist alone and not worry about that crazy comp right now.
Yeah. One of the other important things is that Zen is not completely dead. Just mostly. Dogman has been doing a fantastic job of trying to keep it alive and got a 4K on Volskaya. Literally just, the dude is like, people sleep on him because they never dive him. Like, oh, we'll just leave him alone. And then he's just like, cool, I just killed your whole team. It's like Jonak, except people know that Jonak's good. I feel like people don't realize that Dogman's really, really good, or they just like fail to acknowledge that. And then he can just destroy your entire team. And I swear I'm not just like speaking nicely on him because he's going to be on the show later. That was actually, I just remember pointing that out like, wow, that was phenomenal. Also, there was a moment, right, when literally 3 seconds before the attackers spawn, Decod is hanging out on Hammond, literally hanging out, gripped on a roof somewhere, and apparently his cat walks across his keyboard, forcing him to drop off the map into the freezing water and die literally right before the attackers walk out of spawn. We were all wondering what the heck happened when it first started, but then he put out a tweet explaining it after the fact, and then we kind of laughed it out.
Yeah, because has cats, numerous times my cat has decided that he wants to lay right on my keyboard at the most inopportune times. So I feel Decod's pain on that.
And last bit of important things to note is that Bud's on Doomfist, so we often see Doomfist as a, ah, screw it. We're, like, they're taking the points 99-99. Let me go Doomfist to try to get back real quick. He does that, and then he just gets, like, kills and kills and kills and kills.
Oh, yeah. And with that, that's going to take us into the matches for August 9th. We started off with Gladiators Legion versus NRG Esports. We both had this going the way of Gladiators Legion 3-2. And NRG, man, they kind of showed up. Take it 3-1. So Kyle, start us off.
So we see the first two maps go NRG's way in a pretty strong fashion. They take Lijiang 2-0 and King's Row 1-0. Volskaya is where the Legion kind of comes back and gets a pretty good win. And Route 66 is where I feel like it could have turned into a five. It could have gone to five. It was super duper close. Literally came down to one team fight. And it was interesting because there were some really interesting comps being played and not much else. There's literally just the one. So we'll talk about that in a second, but first we kind of want to point out the fact that I mentioned a little bit about Panker playing Wrecking Ball and how he had a much better performance than anyone else has. He has really good engages because he dives hard, and he also has a full team to support him here. We heard that they have practiced this a lot, so you have a couple of notes here, and then we will break down this weird comp.
Yeah, watching the whole weekend and all of the Hammond play, Panker was the only tank that I saw use the minefield before he actually pile-drived. So he would swing in, get above his targets, drop the minefield, and then pile-drive, and then people would get thrown up into the air. And he actually got a couple kills off of that. Most of the people we saw were actually pile-driving and then dropping the mines. Well, the problem with that is the mines have an activation time. So by the time that they actually got up and were activated, everybody just scattered. That's why we saw the Lucio playing whenever the Hammond on the opposite team of the Hammond, because he would just, you know, speed boost everybody out of the minefield, and then it would just get wrecked after the fact. So Panker was kind of playing it at a different level. But again, I still don't think that it's going to be a main tank. You need that protection, but that's just my two cents.
Yeah, the bubble is really important, I've found. Like, unless you kill everyone within, like, 6 seconds, you're really gonna start paying for it. Mm-hmm. So you have to really, really dive, be really, really coordinated, make sure you kill everyone or you lose.
Yep.
It's not like regular dive where, like, you can engage in and then, oh, it didn't really work out, let's hop out for a second, re-heal up. No, it's, like, in or done. But I want to break down this comp real quick. I broke it down a little bit on High Noon Podcast, but I believe that there's kind of a slightly different listener base here. Might have other people who don't listen to that. So we're going to talk about this Ana, Lucio, Wrecking Ball, D.Va, Doomfist, Sombra comp that Gladiators Legion run basically 98% of this match. They occasionally will switch to a Genji if Blaze is not feeling the Doomfist, but it basically just, they stay on this. They hack supports, dive on them, and destroy them. And when it works phenomenally. We've seen lots of great points, lots of really good gauges here where they dive and then the team is just decimated.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, yeah, there's some risk with the reward here.
And those risks come in when NRG figure out exactly when and where they're going to dive. And then we started seeing flashbangs, sleep darts consistently landing on Blaze, who was doing the majority of the diving into the back. And just getting absolutely shut down off of, I can't even count how many times he got slept dart, and just completely deleted off of the map, and then nothing came of the dive, and then Gladiators Legion had to reset. So it was a little disappointing. That's kind of why I named this the Pain Ball, comp, because if you look at it, everyone has a way to either move you or stop you in your tracks. In that comp that the Gladiators were running. So I hope that something comes of it and that it can be figured out. And if anybody's going to figure it out, it's going to be Panker. So I can't wait to watch what he does next with Hammond.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a couple other notes here, but I kind of feel like I just want to skip them because they're not that important looking back.
Yes, so that takes us to the final quarterfinals matchup, and that is XL2 against Mayhem Academy. We both had this going the way of XL2 3-1 and XL2, I'm sorry, yes, XL2 3-1. And XL2 takes this 3-0. So, Kyle, start us off.
We're kind of right, but not right enough.
Yeah, not right enough.
We assumed that XL2 would slip up, and they did not. Li Zhang went to XL2 2-1. I mean, really, every single map was 2-1. Li Zhang 2-1, XL2. Eichenwald 2-1, XL2. Volskaya 2-1, XL2. Consistency. I like that from this team.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, Mr. Consistent himself, Nene. Be it on Widowmaker, be it on Tracer, be it on McCree, the guy will kill your whole team. Particularly on Tracer, he was incredibly clutch. In Li Zhang Tower, that was like Mayhem Academy's fight to lose, and boy, did they lose it. So Nene has come up incredibly clutch a ton here. We saw a little bit of errors out of Mayhem Academy in that Aligned, who I said was pretty good, and he's been doing a phenomenal job for being a never played in any sort of organized pro-y thing outside of Tespa, which is, that's like definitively tier three kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing the Wrecking Ball super duper passively. Not like I mentioned previously, if you're going to dive with Wrecking Ball, you need to dive hard and you need to dive as like six. And so that didn't really happen as much for him.
No. And it didn't seem like he was able to time his pile drivers right either. He would get great positioning, and then he would wait a second and pile drive, and by the time he hit the ground, everybody already saw where he was, so they just moved. So I think he just needs to work on his timing a little bit. Again, this is the first real like time that we get to see how this comp and how this this new character is going to play in a competitive scene. So we're seeing all sides of it, and some are good, but most are bad.
Yeah, and some of the other things for Mayhem Academy is that they've had some real big issues cleaning up fights. We see very many fights where they get like the first couple of picks, and you're like, okay, well, Mayhem Academy won this fight, and they're like, wait, why is Mangachu still alive? Okay, he got one headshot. Okay, now the other enemy's ends it. Okay, that's two. It's three. Mangachu gets 3-4 kills. Okay, now yep. XL2 have won the fight. Same things happened for Nene and Nanohana as well. Literally, like I mentioned at the start of this matchup, there were so many fights that were Mayhem Academies to lose, and they lost them. It was like this weird like choke thing to where they're like just unable to play cleanly and 100% win fights.
Oh, yes. So that is going to take us into our semifinals. On August 10th, we see Fusion University going up against Team Envy. We both had this going the way of Fusion University with a scoreline of 3-1. We are pretty close again. Fusion University take this 3-0. So why don't you start us off?
So now we have reached the old Fusion University again. I swear we're not going to lose a single map. We're going to completely roll your team every opportunity we get. And we saw Oasis go to Fusion University 2-0. Eichenwald as well, same thing, 2-0. Well, Sky was a little bit more back and forth here. Envy had a couple of better looks, but still went to Fusion University 4-3. What did I say previously about who are you in Nanoblades? Well, continuing to be impactful here. Literally just able to win team fights with two ultimates is a pretty good thing to do. Then you maybe take one team fight and try to win it regular, or just build up that ultimate combo. Same thing again. As well, they are kind of staying with this. Like, it's a pretty strong combo here. It's the Ana, Zen, Winston, D.Va, Genji, Sombra. Sombra is much more mainstay now with her infinite invisibility, yes, and translocator uptime. So she's pretty much just an enabler. She's not like going to do incredible amounts of damage, but she's going to hack vulnerable targets, allow for the Genji, Winston, and D.Va to dive with the help of a Bionade and some Orb of Discord. That thing is going to die.
Yes. And with Zachary running the Sombra, he just getting quality hacks and massive EMPs, like between three and a full teams almost every time. And he was setting up to where if they didn't have the nano boost, he would just EMP the whole team and let who are you come in with a blade and clean everybody up off of an EMP blade. So who are you is dangerous with a blade, but he's extra dangerous when he has two people supporting that blade. And as long as this team continues what they're doing, it's going to be scary to watch them go up against any other team.
And on the opposite side, we saw something kind of interesting being run from Envy. They kind of have their own comp, but this is not like their own at all. Lots of teams have been playing this. And that's the like Cyber Goats comp, I believe it's been dubbed by ZPS. And that's Goats yes. comp with Sombra instead of Zarya. So you're running a D.Va, you're running a Reinhardt, you're running a Brigitte, a Moira, a Lucio, and the Sombra, if I didn't already mention that. So that's kind of their own thing that they ran quite a bit, and Fusion University able to completely take advantage of that and decimate them. One of the important things to note, though, is that we saw McGravy, who's doing a phenomenal job of diving Who Are You. I forget what game it was, but there was one we talked about like a week or two ago where at literally every single opportunity this player had a blade, they got completely dove on and annihilated. I think it was on Anubis where it happened. As soon as they got blade, pulled it out, you had like everyone jump onto the Genji. It was very much like that, except it was just McGravy doing it, and he was doing a pretty good job of yes. at least keeping him, you know, at bay and kind of limiting on the ridiculously solid dragon blades that Who Are You can get.
Oh, definitely. And then that's going to take us into our final semifinals matchup, which was NRG Esports versus XL2. We both had this going the way of XL2, 3-1. And again, we are pretty close. It was 3-2 in favor of XL2 over NRG Esports. So what do you got?
So NRG starts this out with a win on Lijing Tower 2-1. Basically, this whole series is super duper duper close. The entire mm-hmm. time, there's no like 2-0s, no 2-1s, or no 3-0s, nothing like that. So Lijing, NRG 2-1. King's Row goes to XL2, 3-2. Flips back to NRG on Anubis, 3-2. Then XL2 take Rialto, 3-2. And then on Oasis is really where it gets really interesting. XL2 take it 2-1 as well. One of the important things to note is that Swan is basically number two on my list of Reinhardt Winston players playing in NA currently. Definitely outrined Tizzy here. Tizzy is a pretty good Winston, but I feel like his Reinhardt just got purely one-upped by Swan. As well as they were running interesting, like, Soldier Mirror comps on Gardens as well. Both teams ran this Soldier 76 Sombra. But you have a quick little note on this.
Yeah, the Soldier 76 Sombra combo actually looked to benefit NRG a little bit more. I forget exactly who it was on the Soldier for NRG, but he was just consistently getting picks before engagements. And quality, there was only a couple visors, but he was literally just hunting down Mercy whenever he got his visor. So it's again, we talked about May earlier on being kind of played more in this new meta. We're seeing Soldier come back and actually be played consistently on Lijing. It seems that kind of is his map now almost.
Yeah. And then Nene as well on Tracer, Widow, and McCree, both bringing back incredible comebacks here for XL2 on King's Row. The dude is just looking phenomenal. And there was a reason he was number one on my list of players to pick up.
Yeah.
As well as Rascal on the Junkrat on the opposite side on Anubis was just absolutely decimating everyone. People came in, you know, jumped onto point, thought they won the fight, and up, Rascal got two. You know, screw you, your fight's over, go back. As well as Man, Mangachu, like every DPS on both of these teams had phenomenal games.
Oh, yeah.
In this game. So we saw that Mangachu is just hitting so many directs onto Tracer, and I think it's, as long as it's damage boosted by Mercy, it's a one shot. So Mangachu is just hitting so many directs, even from like, even not damage boosted. still hitting him and still doing a ridiculous amount of damage, forcing out the recall out of Tracer. It's just so ridiculous.
Oh, and one of the most ridiculous shots onto a Tracer that I saw from Mangachu. It was over on Rialto. Rascal was coming through right before the first point, that room above the where the payload goes under. Mangachu sees him through that little window above the street, follows him all the way through, and puts a rocket right into that opening that leads out over to the courtyard. And as soon as Rascal comes out into the open, that rocket just slams right into him. It wasn't boosted, so it didn't kill him, but instantly Rascal has to recall. One of the cleanest rockets onto a Tracer off of a blind corner I've ever seen. Mangachu he's a fair god, and Rialto is his temple. It's amazing. Yes.
And then kind of the last note I have on this matchup is that Wu Yal, I feel like out of the double pickup that XL2 got with Wu Yal and Tizzy, Wu Yal was definitely the major upgrade. We see that Tizzy and Clone Man are played kind of interchangeably. Clone Man is still a phenomenal tank. I don't think that there's a huge improvement with Tizzy. But man, going from, I think it was Midnight, who was the previous tank, to Wu Yal, yes, it is such a night and day difference as well. Clearly a phenomenal D.Va main here. A lot of incredibly clutch plays on Oasis.
Oh, and I just want to take it back to Night Market for a quick second on Wu Yal. It's actually kind of a combo between him and Goliath. Goliath lands a sleep dart on Smex out in the main courtyard before the grassy area. And Wu Yal just walks over and casually drops his self-destruct right next to the sleeping Zarya. One of the most disrespectful plays I have ever seen on a D.Va. Like, it was just like, the rest of your team is gone. I've got a self-destruct. I'm just going to sit it right on top of you while you sleep. It was phenomenal. I laughed out loud when I saw it. It was great. Definitely check it out. I should clip it. Actually, I will go back and I'll clip it and share it out. This is great. But that is going to wrap it up for our playoffs of NA. But Kyle is going to take us into a special little section he talked about earlier on, and that is the Korean Grand Finals, which was on August 11th. We see Kongdu Panthera versus Runaway, and I'm not spoiling this score for you because I didn't get to watch it, so take the away.
So I'm not even going to spoil it. If you haven't already watched this, it is a long watch. It goes 7 maps on a best of 7. Like, I think at least 3 of the last 4 Intenders/Apex finals have been like this, where they're just so back and forth, so like to the true top of, you know, what this region has to offer. And yeah, it's really, really, really cool to see. Starts off with Runaway taking Li Zhang 2-0. Eichenwald goes to Kongdu Panthera 4-3. Anubis is a draw, which only adds the anticipation and the unsettlingness of this whole series. Watchpoint Gibraltar and Oasis go to Kongdu Panthera 3-2 and 2-1 on Oasis. Kings Row back to Runaway here. They're starting to kind of push their way back after going down 3-1. I think Kongdu Panthera only needed the one more after this, and Runaway needed to win 3 maps in a row in order to come back. And what did they do? They won 3 in a row and came back and got the win. Kings Row into Runaway 4-3, Route 66 4-3 as well for Runaway, and lastly on Ilios, they capped it out 2-1. Delving deep into what happened here, and note here, this is the only, I watched maybe one other match in Korean Contenders this season. I cannot watch every single region. I barely have enough time to watch all of NA and the occasional other stuff. So I'm gonna try to do these things a little bit more. Maybe next season we kind of take one match from each region. Well, maybe EU, Korea a little bit.
Yeah.
And try to focus a little bit more because these are really cool to see. But important thing to note about the team comps here, man, they love running goats or goats variations. A lot of teams will just run Brigitte, like, for the most part. There's a couple of times where you they won't, but I think for like 60 to 70% of all team comps here had a Brigitte in them. We see a lot of NA teams struggle with playing around grabs properly and following up the damage, but at the start of this particular matchup, the first couple of maps were just phenomenal grab usage, phenomenal team play. That's the one thing that I feel like the Korean teams have over top of the NA teams, is that they seem more disciplined and practiced as a team. They are more on the same page. They probably have more effective communication because it just shows in their play that they are more supporting of each other and less trying to do like ridiculous hero playsy stuff.
Yeah.
The ult management is incredible on Kongju Panthera's part on Eichenwald. Runaway had a 5-minute time bank coming into this on the second rounds, and Kongju Panthera drained it entirely. 5-minute time bank completely down the drain. On the opposite side, for Runaway, Hawksall has a phenomenal Doomfist and is just really catching momentum and rolling through. Oasis was a bit weird. They looked confused in Runaway. Bumper and Janu were both out of position quite often, got caught out quite often. They just looked like they didn't play it much. There was not really much like analysis I could have done before. Like, did y'all scrim this? They just kind of looked a little eh. And then the other weird thing I saw is that Bumper is like, so I think he's played flex support or maybe main support. He's played one of the two support roles previously. Also played, I think, off tank and now main tank. The dude is playing a ton of stuff. Now is on the main tank here, except when they run a Wrecking Ball comp, because we see here is that Janu, who's the D.Va player, will pick up the Wrecking Ball, and then Bumper will play the Zarya, which is kind of an interesting thing to see, but Bumper is clearly, like, able enough to play all that kind of stuff. And this is maybe where we can see this work a little bit better for Zarya, or for Wrecking Ball in a main tank spot, is if you're running that Zarya, because I mentioned how important that shield is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zarya kind of has her own form of shields that if she's in there with the Wrecking Ball as well, they both have shields at the moment. Isn't as durable as Reinhardt or Winston's shield, but I think it's a pretty good alternative with being able to put out a ton of damage. Lastly, man, this was the game of Lucios. We saw incredible boops, incredible finishing blows from both Lucio, Koma on the side of Kongju Panthera and Slime on the side of Runaway. Both of them had incredible plays, especially on Well. You could just they gave Lucio a bit of more screen time than normal because you could just see him going for the knock in the pit boops all the time. It's just like the funnest thing to see. But that's gonna wrap it up for that match. Runaway take it 4-3. And as the winners of Contenders Korea, they were able to face off against Team South Korea in like a show matchy scrim thing that I watched a little bit of. It was cool.
And I heard that was phenomenal, and I need to go back and watch both of these. Just, man, World of Warcraft, I hate you sometimes.
Dude, double tab it. Get a second monitor going.
I've got three monitors. I usually have like Netflix going, so yeah, maybe I'll throw some Contenders up on one of my other screens and do some more leveling sometime this weekend. But that's going to wrap up all of our playoff analysis. So it's going to take us down into our speculation station. We had our NA playoffs bracket, and we are going to just kind of run through them extremely quick on who got stuff right, who got stuff wrong, and where we kind of stand right now. So Kyle, why don't you throw yours out there real quick?
So I predicted the Fusion University win over Toronto, just not the correct numbers. I predicted correctly the Envious win over LNL. I don't think I got the numbers right on there as well. And then the XL2 Mayhem, I guessed right as well. Wrong numbers. Where I did go wrong was I gave Gladiator's Legion the 3-2 over NRG, but it went the opposite way. And I did mention that the Route 66 match could have gone the Legion's way. It was literally one team fight, and then maybe this would have happened, but it didn't happen that way. So I got one negative check mark on my bracket. And then I guess the Fusion University versus Envy one right. And then I guessed technically the XL2 one right. I just guessed who they would be against incorrectly. So I give myself a half check there, essentially.
Yes. And then on mine, I guessed the Fusion University Toronto correct with the correct scoreline, 3-0. And then I had Team Envy taking out LNL, so I got that one correct. XL2 over Mayhem, I got that one also correct. Where I first falter is I had this going the way of Gladiators Legion over NRG, and NRG put a stop to that for me. So then in the semis, I had Fusion University beating Team Envy. Then my second check mark of failure here is the XL2 versus Gladiators, because I had Gladiators beating XL2, and Gladiators can't beat XL2 if they don't play them. So I kind of failed on that. So my grand finals is kind of half busted. I still have Fusion University taking the win, regardless of who they play against. It's just not the right team. Kyle did get the grand finals correct, so Kyle is possibly going to get like spot on for the grand finals, which is
very possibly
good on you, sir.
I'm not considered an expert by High Noon Podcast for nothing. Just saying, man.
That is true. You are the expert on High Noon Podcast. That is very true. But that is going to wrap up our regularly scheduled show. So where can they find you on the internet, Mr. Kyle?
You can find me at Twitter, on Twitter and on Twitch at Kyle the Winner, KyleTheWinner. I swear I can spell my own Twitter handle. Where about you, Thorn? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Thorn Rain. Following this directly, we're going to take a short break, and then we are going to come back with our Last Night's Leftover special edition Black Watch profiles with Dogman and Kate. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report, no O in that report, and I swear I didn't spell it wrong. Twitter just doesn't like me. Name's too long. I got called out on High Noon Podcast for that. You can email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com. You can follow the show on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Our intro music is the main theme for Overwatch, covered by our very own Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com, and you can come and chat with all of the hosts at the Discord at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out. Okay. I had to kill the local. So we're still on Twitch. Actually, I'm going to take us off of Twitch so the video isn't super long. Twitch, we will be back. I think I saw a couple people floating around in there. I saw my numbers jumping. So we will be back shortly. I got to set up the calls and everything with our guests. And then we will be right back with the Blackwatch profiles.